Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, what is going on? My name is Justin. This is Sports, Sales, and Coffee, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your very busy day and allowing me to enter your ear holes and tickle that beautiful brain of yours with a little bit of information, a little bit of knowledge, and even some motivation that will hopefully help you reach and exceed your sales goals so you can absolutely dominate. If you enjoy what you're listening to, and I really hope you do and you are, it'd mean the world to me, the absolute world to me, if you could like, subscribe, and comment to wherever you listen to the podcast, especially on iTunes and Spotify. I guess it helps with the algorithm or whatever, and continue to tell a friend about the podcast, because you're doing that. It's growing day by day, week by week, and it's all because of you, the listener. So thank you so much. And then I'd love to be friends, you know, with you, but I don't know how to get in touch with you. So, but you know how to get in touch with me. Follow me on social media at Sports Sales Coffee on Instagram, Facebook, and on TikTok at SSC_podcast on Twitter, Sports Sales and Coffee on LinkedIn, and I will follow you back. Slide into my DMs. Let me know your thoughts, your feelings. If you want to chop it up, any questions, an idea for an episode, let me know about it. I'll get back to you immediately, right away. I'll try to get back to you as fast as possible. And, you know, times are crazy right now, but I'll do my best, and we'll chop it up. So I appreciate it. I got some things in the works. Hopefully some things will come up in the next couple 2 weeks. Thinking about bringing back another kind of segment, but maybe doing it more, doing it better, and everything like that. Because in times like these and in some difficult times, you gotta, you know, you got to look at things as an opportunity, and that's what I'm doing. You know what I mean? My hours are probably going to change a little bit. It's probably going to be a little bit difficult at work here and there. So if I got more time, let's try to do more time on the podcast. Let's try to go all in. Let's try to push even more than what I've been doing, and hopefully it will come out the other side and be better. And hopefully you, the listener, will enjoy it, and you're continuing to tell your friends and tell your coworkers and employees and whatever, and we'll just kind of we'll keep it rocking and we'll keep it going, and we'll do that. We'll do that. So I hope all is well with you. The things that have kind of been on my mind and not sales related is, you know, today's Thursday. Yesterday, the Bucks, you know, walked out, which I fully agree with. I think it's phenomenal that the Bucks did that. I think it was great that because of, you know, the very, very unfortunate shooting of Jacob Blake, and then it was in Milwaukee, so for the Bucks to walk out and start that, I think was phenomenal. I know there was some rumblings on, I think it was Tuesday, that the Raptors were talking about it, and kind of my thing was, you know, I don't know, two teams, and this is from the outside looking in, I know all teams are tight, but I was looking at it and saying, I don't know two teams that are tighter than the Raptors are and the Celtics are, and they're playing each other. I wouldn't be surprised if they both decided to boycott that game and not play. I wouldn't have been shocked by that at all. I think it's phenomenal what they're doing. I know going into the bubble, a lot of the pressure was that if you get back to playing sports, the movement is going to die. People are going to stop listening. They're going to start moving. And I don't think that's true. I think I think NBA teams, especially NBA teams, have really used their platform very well. I follow the Celtics. You know me, I'm a big Celtics guy. And Jaylen Brown has been very, very vocal. And the Celtics have been retweeting. They've been posting it. I don't know about other teams, but I think they've been very vocal, and they've been using their platform to get the message across. I always thought it was phenomenal that the whole league did it. It wasn't just a few guys on the team. It wasn't just the superstars. It was everybody went through. The only thing I would say, and I didn't see this, is I don't know if the Magic were told or not. And I've heard rumors that, like, they were warming up, the Bucks didn't show up, and then they left. Like, to me, I wish, and I could be very wrong, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but that's the only thing I would say is I wish, like, someone ran over to the Magic locker room, and they're just like, yo, man, we ain't playing tonight, like, we're boycotting it. So, the Magic, and I don't think anyone thinks that the Magic looked like dummies, but that was the only thing that, if I was on the Magic, one, I'd be pumped because I'd be in the NBA, two, that means I had a great shot, but two would be like, you guys got to tell us, like, we're going to be with you. It's just, we want to be on the same page. I think it was phenomenal. And then to see that baseball, there's a few teams that canceled their games, the MLS, the WNBA. It's so everyone's kind of getting on this board, and they're just kind of bringing that platform to more. And some people, I saw a tweet today, and someone was like, if you want to see the reach of it, it was a guy put it out that my wife does not watch the NBA at all, but she watched Doc Rivers' commentary about it, and she's like, it resonated with her. And that's what I thought was pretty huge, is that by doing this, it gets to the mainstream media, it gets to everywhere. Even if you're not a sports fan, it brings awareness to it. So I think it's good, the momentum. Hopefully they keep going. I know the players are going to vote. I don't know. There's been talks if they're going to cancel the season, or if they're going to keep going, or the boycott. But I think this was pretty good, and hopefully the movement kind of keeps going, because I think a lot of us, and this includes me, that eyes are being kind of open up to this. And unfortunately, just my eyes weren't open earlier. I'm a white guy from Maine. I've never been around it. I've never participated in it. I've never really seen it. So for me, you know, it's eye-opening. And it's unfortunate that I'm 34 years old, and now I'm opening up to it. But you got to do what you got to do. You got to change for yourself, and then you got to kind of, you know, make change happen. So that's all I want to talk about. I think it was great. The other thing about the NBA that I was definitely wrong in is the Trailblazers. Damn it. I think it might be the sports sales and coffee curse, because I know a few, like last year when Al Horford put on a great game, game one, against the Bucks, I was like, Celtics in four, they're sweeping them, let's go. And then that ended terribly. So I hope this isn't a starting to curse. I hope this isn't like the Madden curse. But I might leave my picks to myself. Just kidding. I'm still going to go with it, because I don't know if it's a curse or not. I mean, if it's a curse, it's going to be hilarious. But we're going to roll with it. So that's what's kind of new with me. And I just want to kind of give my two cents on like what's happening in the sports world, and just kind of go from there. But on that, I hope everyone is doing well. I hope everyone is staying with it and just kind of grinding. And you know, it kind of is what it is. It is what it is. New things happen every day, and we want to keep changing, and we want to keep growing. And I think if you try to shoot to yourself to be better tomorrow than you were today, that's the right path. And keep on moving, and be the ally, and not try to be silent, and just kind of open your eyes more to things. And if you have a knee-jerk reaction, settle down first, take it in stride, process it, and then release. And that's what I think one of the issues is. This is gonna be a long episode, and I apologize, but I think this is one of the issues with the internet, is no one's scared of getting punched in the face anymore. You're not scared to get punched in the face. There are things that people say on the internet, and I never say this, but there are things that people say on the internet that there's no ramifications about it. I'm going to murder his name, Imachio, I think it is. I just kind of found out about that guy. I think he's on Speak for Yourself on Fox. Very, very intelligent guy. He does a podcast. I've seen his like little clips and videos on Facebook, and I kind of liked it, but he put out a tweet about someone who direct messaged him, and it was just filled with racist shit. And I sat there, and one, I was like, I hate that person sent it to him. And two, I said, there is no way, he is a former NFL player, there is no way in hell you would ever say that to his face. Ever. I'm a pretty big guy. I would not say any shit to him, not even racist. I would not say anything to him at all, because he could murder me. Murder me. He would dominate me so hard. He is a freak athlete. I mean, anyone who plays professional sports is a freak athlete. It is what it is. But, yeah, I mean, the internet you have lost that fear of, I'm going to get punched in the face if I say this. So I'm going to watch my P's and Q's and I'll process it. Is it worth it? No, in the internet, you just put whatever you want out and you're not scared to get, bam, just cold cocked, knocked out. That's the world I grew up in. Not that I was a big fighter, but you got to watch what you said, because if you just put it on the internet and you were just shitting on all these people, like, what the hell? You're not scared to get punched in the face. I think that's what needs to happen again. People need to be scared about what they say, and you have to kind of watch your P's and Q's and, you know, pick, you know, I don't know. It's terrible. I'm ranting. It is what it is. You don't come here for the rant. It's almost been 10 minutes. Let's move on. But I just want to say my P's and Q's because, again, I try to make this podcast as real as possible. I wanted this to be, it's me. It is what it is. And I know we're all going through some shit. And if I can say something that you believe in or can change your mind to thinking a little bit or tweak it or make you think differently, and I want to do that too, because I think we all need to grow. We all need to move. We all need to get better. And that's how we get better out of this, is we continue to push forward and not take a step back. And we just continue to move forward, and all of us, and then we'll see change. And that's what we need to do. We need to see change. And I'm embarrassed that it took me 34 years to see this. But I am now, and we're moving forward, and it's just kind of take the bits and pieces and process them and then move forward and make that change in your own life and continue to strive. So that's what it is. That's what it is. But so I don't know if and then I saw some today, but ESPN, the Giants might sit out a game. They might boycott. So you never know. It kind of is what it is. It's 2020 and we'll just kind of keep going. But, you know, I know 2020 has sucked for a lot of things, but hopefully we can look back. Hopefully we can look back when we years down, 20 years, 30 years down the future and say, you know what, 2020 did suck, but great things came out of it. You know what I mean? I keep kind of thinking to myself, and there was there's a quote from Moneyball at the end, that he goes, the first one through the wall is always bloody. The first one through the wall is always bloody. And I just kind of hope in 20, 30 years we can look back and say, you know what? We got bloody from 2020. We pushed through the wall. But that's when the change really happened. That's where you saw definite change. And we kind of moved forward. So that's what I'm hoping. I'm trying to stay optimistic about it and say, yeah, you got to go through some shit. You know, and you got to push forward. And it kind of gets, you know, worse before it gets better. So hopefully we're on the upturn and things are going to get better. So that's it. And now let's switch wheels and go with and let's jump into why you turn in some sales techniques and some other things like that. And today, I just think in times like these, you know what I mean, especially in the sales world and in our career world, and I say this all the time, and I'm just trying to keep it real. And I think that's why some the podcast works, is because I go through things that I'm going through, and I talk about things that I'm trying to do, because it's not, I'm not sitting on my ivory tower. I'm not sitting at and saying, oh, 5 years ago I did this, because 5 years ago that shit don't work anymore. It's now. 5 months ago that shit doesn't work anymore. It's just continued to change. And I think right now it is super important to be organized, to plan your calls, to make sure you are spending your time reaching out to the right people. And this is where a solid pipeline comes into play. This is where using your pipeline and managing that pipeline is phenomenal. You know what I mean? You can figure out who you're working with that can or could, you know, be closed soon. But realistically, I kind of want to talk about more of that, because prospect to pipeline. What are we doing? How are we creating this pipeline? How do we qualify the groups, the companies, the individuals from our prospect lists, and then move them to our pipeline? What do we do to make that happen? And what have I been doing that I feel has been pretty successful for me? And hopefully we can talk about, or you know, some topics, and you can, and maybe something clicks. And you say, oh yeah, I can do that. Oh yeah, that makes sense. Like, that's what I hope. Or I can get you to think in a different way. If you feel like your pipeline isn't where it should be, if you're not utilizing your prospect list and you're not moving that transition into a pipeline, better. Because we do know that a prospect list is not a pipeline. It's just not a pipeline at all. It's a prospect list. And there's a big difference. So before we move forward and we kind of talk about what I do, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Because I know in sales and definitely in different industries and in different teams, we call things different things. You know, for the example, I always call the cold call when I was in outdoor sales, you know, in An outdoor rep? What is that? Outside sales rep? Outdoor rep? No. Outside sales rep. I was always, like, cold call was when I walked into a business. And then a phone call was just when I called the phone. In every other place, in inside sales, a cold call is the first time you've reached out. So it's kind of different. Different words mean different things, but they're kind of the same thing. So to make sure we're all kind of on the same page, you know, what is a pipeline? A pipeline is a visual snapshot of where prospects are in the sales process. It should show you how many deals you should close and what you could close and what deals you're working on. But it's a snapshot. It's a quick visual look. What's a prospect list? It's a list of potential clients or customers. We might get those. We might get a prospect list of people that might buy, that have bought multiple games in the past. We might get a list of people that filled out a survey that they'd be interested in season tickets or groups or marketing. It could be a list of all the dental offices, restaurants, whatever, but it's a list. It's a list of businesses most likely that we haven't talked to before. They might have some tie-in to the team. They might have some tie-in to your business, but mostly it's just a list. You know, you can make these lists pretty quickly, not quickly, but you can, you know, you go on Yelp and you pull that list off of, you type in dental offices and 50 dental offices show up, or maybe it's a list of your little leagues and your youth baseball, your football, your hockey or whatever, but it's a list that maybe didn't really, you know, hasn't really done anything with you before. Maybe you've never talked to them before. Some people will buy these lists of schools or summer camps or whatever there could be. So it's just a list of prospects that are in the category that you're looking for, basically. So, but the question is when do we move the prospect into our pipeline? What allows us to take them as just a prospect and let them know that they are now a company, a group, an individual, whatever that we're working on that is validated for us to put it on the pipeline? Well, in my thing, and this is where it kind of gets a little hazy. And these are some examples that why I move someone from my prospect list to my pipeline. Did I set a meeting with them? That's an absolute no-brainer. Did I have a good conversation with them? A great conversation where I feel like it could go somewhere. Maybe they didn't say yes to a meeting right now, but you know what? It was something that they might be interested in later. It might be something that I can kind of follow up with. Maybe they had some stuff and they couldn't commit to something, but I got to call them next week to set a meeting. Sure, I want to put that in my pipeline because I feel like that is worth it. Did I find some information about them? And then, now this kind of comes up where maybe I didn't talk to them. But why would I take someone from my prospect list if I just left a voicemail on it? And why did I move them over to my pipeline and not my prospect list? Maybe if we didn't talk. One of them is maybe I found information that makes, you know, that makes me think they could buy from me. Maybe I'm selling marketing, and when I talk to the gatekeeper, we talked a little bit about what they do, and the gatekeeper told me, oh, they do some signage elsewhere. Maybe I found some information that they do some sports marketing in other places. Maybe that they've done group outings. Maybe they've done a company picnic, you know, somewhere else, but now you can pull them to your stadium. So that information would say, they're already kind of, they might be interested in me, but they're doing something similar. It's worth me following back up with them and letting them know that they could be a possible client. So doing that, of finding out new information, maybe you have a good feeling about it. And maybe this good feeling about it is, you know what, from just talking to them, I feel like I have a great fit for them. I have something that can fit into their budget, that I can give them a proper, you know, an opportunity for them to pick up on. Maybe it's seats, maybe it's a group outing, maybe it's sponsorship, maybe it's all of them under above. But you have a feeling, it's a gut feeling that you're saying, you know what, I can do it. They show a history that they could be a client. So they've done other things in the past. You might have figured out that they are doing, you know, they are doing ad, they are doing radio, they are doing some other stuff. You kind of found some information, not that they're currently doing, but in the past. So things might change. Maybe they're a new product, a new store, they're opening up a business in your area. Or maybe they're kind of starting a brand new league where you feel like, hey, that's some, you know, that's a history that they're taking over the league. You know, they're going to do something. Or it could be whatever. and this is a lot of feel for you, but going with your gut of what do you think is worth your time? And that's, I think, at the basis at the end of the day is you got to figure out what is worth your time. What is worth your time to reach out 5, 6, 7, 8 times to this company, to this business, to this group that you might never have talked to before? Well, if you have some history on them, that they've done something in the past, to me, that's worth it. That they do something similar in their marketing plan that you can offer them, and maybe you can kind of steal some of that money from it. That's worth it. They have a new product coming out. They have a new store opening up. They have a new, you know, group. They're now doing an all-star team where you can get that all-star team out. That makes sense to me. They increased, maybe they, you know, it's one league and they just kind of absorb the other town. That makes sense. That makes sense to move them over to the pipeline and kind of get going from it. And it's not just, oh, I talked to them. Because I feel like when you do that, you might lose some business. And for the, you know, example, I've talked to a lot of people that I've called 6, 7, 8 times and they've never picked up. And then finally I get them on the phone and they just say, this is a great idea. I really like it. Let's sit up and talk. Thanks for following up with me. And if you have this gut feeling that's a company, a group, or whatever, you can make that call. Maybe even a season ticket. Maybe you found the history that they come to 3 games a year. Maybe they've never understood that season tickets are pretty, you know, affordable. That they have the payment plans and they have these seats and you get better seats or you get worse seats and the price kind of comes in and they save and maybe it's a half season. Maybe you upgrade, but you get this information that they've come to your ballpark, to your stadium before. It's worth you moving them into your pipeline to continue to follow up. Because we want this solid pipeline. We want this, to do well. And then how are we working this pipeline? How are we getting it to where we want it to be? You know, and this is why I believe in a pipeline so much. This is why I always kind of push it. Because it is what it is. It's a snapshot of what you have. How mine works is I have, you know, I have an Excel sheet. I don't use my CRM for my pipeline. My pipeline does not have tons and tons of information on it. It's not very detailed. Mine is pretty simple. I know some people that have a very detailed one, that they use their CRM to make that pipeline because they need all that information. For me, I want it to be a visual thing that I can look at and I can understand where I am in each step of the sales process. And I can quickly look and I can jog my memory. So for mine, it's very, very simple. On Excel, it's the prospect name or the company name, it's what I pitched, the status, my last contact, and my next contact, and then one line of notes, which is probably like 4 cells put together. Like, it's not a lot of information. When I say pitched, I put what we talked about, what I think they could spend. And that's, you know, and it kind of differs. I kind of have, an idea. Did I pitch them something at 2 grand, at 5 grand, at 30 grand? Did I pitch them season tickets? Did I pitch them groups? What do I think they could spend? How many tickets do I think they could buy from me? And I put that out. And that's just a guesstimate. And that's from us talking or what I just kind of believe. After I say what I pitched, I put a status of where I think they are. And again, mine's very simple. Mine is like the 2013 NFL injury report. Doubtful, questionable, probable. That's it. I don't have anything of where they are in the process. That's where I kind of put in the notes. But doubtful, I don't really think they're going to come in. Questionable, maybe. We got to go more into the talk. And probable, I only use probable when it's like I'm sending them agreement that we had a phenomenal meeting and they got to talk to one other person to get it signed off on, or they got to double check their budget, or they got to do something. It is only one more thing, one more step I got to get through to get that signed agreement, or maybe I'm waiting for it to get signed. That's my probable. I love seeing probable. The only thing more I love seeing next to their name, not probable, is in, signed, boom, let's do it. And then the notes, it's just a quick sentence of what we spoke about, what I'm going to pitch them, when am I going to follow up, and kind of why. So maybe there's like a 3-4 week gap. And I remind myself of out on vacation. They said follow up October 1st. They have a big conference coming up. Don't reach out until November 15th. Like, that happens a lot. New budget in February. Reach out in January. Like, very, very quick notes. But I want it to be a snapshot. I want it to be where I can look, and it's almost kind of a touch, feel, smell kind of thing for me, for my prospect list. It's similar to when, if you ever tried to learn a language, this is what they told me. I didn't learn Spanish. I tried to learn Spanish. I took it 3 years in high school. Not a chance. But what I was saying is that it's when you're learning stuff on flashcards. Why flashcards work, it's because you hit some of the senses. You touch the flashcards, you see the flashcards, you can kind of smell them, and then you keep flipping them and you can hear it. With that, I use my mouse a lot, so I can move up and down. That's how I feel. I can see everything. I don't taste it. I'm not licking my screen, but I can, like, see it. I can hear it move, the clicks and everything, and it's not, I don't have to jump into my CRM and kind of go through pages and pages to find out information or what happened. I still use my CRM, probably not much as I should. That's kind of, I need to work on that, but that's where I keep all the information, you know, the address and the more of the notes of what we talked about, maybe what I pitched them, what I'm thinking about, what I said, what my email to them was exactly, what my phone call was. And that's where all the meat of the information is in my CRM. But in my pipeline, it's a snapshot because I'm a very visual person. If you're a very visual person, make an Excel sheet, make it into your pipeline. And by seeing it, and you can see the date you reached out to them last time, and now when you need to reach out to them. And when you can keep that, for me, it makes me very, very organized. When I move them over and I can use my pipeline, you know, how I've been, I stay on top of people. And then I can determine too, when I see that date, that maybe I kind of went through all my pipeline and I reach out to everyone, and my next round was a Thursday. I can look around and say, you know what? I can actually reach out to them earlier. No, you know, I'm going to call them today. No, I'm going to send them an email tomorrow. And I can move stuff around because I can see it. It's right there in front of me. With a CRM, I got to go click, 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 and move around. I don't love that, so I got to see things. But when they're on your pipeline, that is your blood. That is what you need, because it can show you exactly where you're going. It keeps me on task. It keeps me honest, and it just helps me set up my week. It helps me set up my day. It lets me see what I have and what I can project, so I can know that, you know what, I got 4 people that are potential close next week, but after that, I don't have anyone, so I better bust my ass now. I can see it at a snapshot of, Justin, you better buckle down. You better amp up your cold calling this week, because in 3 weeks, your pipeline is dry. And there is one thing that will kill us in sales, is a dry pipeline. We can never have a pipeline that's big enough. We always want it to be bigger. We always want it to be flowing. We always want it to be going. If it's dry, we are dead. So we want to continue to stalk that bad boy every time. That's why we're always prospecting. ABP, always be prospecting. Always. Even if your prospect is full, even if it is bursting at the seams, you can always fit more in there, because that's what we want. Because things are going to drop out and not know. So for me, the pipeline at a snapshot keeps me focused. It keeps me ready. And it's everything is right there. I don't need to go through the pages and pages on the CRM. It's all right there. Then when I need more information, I can jump into it on the CRM and figure it out and find out more, you know, more in tune. But for that, it's just right there. So prospecting, prospecting, prospecting. Take them from your prospect list. If you have a good feeling, if you've had a good meeting, if you've had a good conversation, if you figure out a history that you think they can do something, move over. And why I want to stress that is because there's a lot of times sales managers, GMs will just say, you know, beat it. Like, if you call them and then set them and forget them. For me, I never want to do that, because one of the other worst feelings in sales is when you call someone, then you kind of forget about them, and then your counterpart, your other sales guy, your other sales girl, you know, your cube mate calls them, they get a meeting, they sign them, makes you feel like a piece of shit. Makes me feel like a piece of shit. I hate it. I'm pumped for them to sell something, but that should have been mine. I should have had that, and I didn't have that because I let them go. So if you have a good feeling about someone, if it's the history, if they've done something in the past, if you have a gut feeling that, you know what, this group is going to do something for me. This family is going to buy season tickets. I don't know what it is, but the Smith family is on it. I better reach out to them again. Put them on your prospect list, because there's no foul if nothing happens. It's no harm, no foul. If you put them on your prospect list, you finally get to talk to them. They say no. You're where you were if you didn't do it. You might have had three, four extra calls, but those three, four extra calls might have worked into something. So if you have a great feeling from a prospect list and you move into pipeline, do it. Do it. Do it, especially now. We need big pipelines right now, because a lot of people, it's going to be tough to fill them. So if we can fill them up, we're going to be in a better spot than everybody else. And that's what we need to do. So work, work, work that pipeline. If you don't have one, please make one. I think it will really help you, especially if you're a visual person. I'm a very visual person. I love seeing the snapshot. I don't need to put all this information on it. I don't need to put tons and tons of information. I remember I looked at someone's pipeline, and they had like every date of what they talked about. They had information. So on Tuesday, this is it. Then the next line was like, Thursday when they talked, and then next Monday, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, why do you have all the information? Keep that information in your CRM. Keep the most recent information in your pipeline and keep it going. Keep it flowing. Get your mind working and just keep on calling. So when you can move that prospect to a pipeline and stock your pipeline up, it's nice and full and it's just flowing. We're in a very, very, very good spot, especially in this time where it is tough. We want a big pipeline that we can turn to. And you can create your pipeline and you can have it so you feel like that next year it's all going to close. Your pipeline doesn't have to be everything is closed in 3 months, 6 months, 1 month, whatever. It can be a long-standing, a long-standing pipeline. So I know I've talked about this a little bit in the organization episode, but I want to talk about it more because I think it's very, very important in these times to have a good pipeline and make sure we're moving our prospects to our pipeline and you're giving them extra attention so we can sell it, close it, and get some cash. We need it. But this is a long episode, so I'm going to end it right there. I appreciate you letting me rant in the beginning. Hopefully it made sense. Hopefully the prospect to pipeline made sense. Hopefully if you're not making it on Excel, or you're not doing it, on a form, you can take a peek at it and we can kind of go from there. I think that would be great. And it's really helped me. It has really, really helped me. And it's something that I really, really believe in. And then in Excel, I have my pipelines and I have my, I have pipelines that go back to, because when I really started in 2013, 2014, when I was really pushing at it, and I can even go back on my history and say, oh yeah, I thought they were out in 2014. I haven't talked to them in a little bit. No one else has. Why don't I give them a call? So you can kind of go back in your own history, and your old pipelines can turn into a little bit of a prospect list, and you can see if they can move them forward. So keep grinding. Keep after it. I appreciate the shit out of you for listening. Thank you so much. Again, follow me on social media, and I'll follow you back. I'd love to be friends. At Sports Sales Coffee on Instagram, Facebook, and on TikTok. At @SSC_podcast on Twitter. Sports Sales and Coffee on LinkedIn. Slide in my DMs. Or if you want to hit me up on email, sportsalescoffee@gmail.com. I will get back to you. I promise. Like, subscribe, and comment to wherever you listen to the podcast. It'd mean the world to me if you could. And I think that's it. Right? That's all it is. I think I locked out the social media accounts there. I don't know. I'm tired. And it's almost dinner time, so I'm hungry. I'm hangry. I'm not actually hangry. I'm not angry at all. But I appreciate the shit out of you for listening. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. If you have the opportunity, and you're going to get the opportunity soon if you don't have it now, but when you get the opportunity, go sell something. Go after it. Get it. Sell something. Peace.